Speaking of the only station, it's Whitey and Jay today. Drapes with us in the 4 o'clock hour. There's a lot of stations, sports talk stations, say we're the only station that does this or that. I'd be willing to bet you money, Jay.
What you got?
We are the only sports talk station in America today playing O-Town. I bet you we're the only one.
That's what we do around here, though. We start phenomenons. Not copycatters. You know, we're originators.
Yeah.
You know, they duplicate what we do
That's
around
right.
here.
That's right. Oh, not everybody's going to after today.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But we started
Liquid Dreams
this
right
trend,
here.
Which apparently was O-Town's smash hit. We started talking about Beyonce and then bands and then boy bands. And then Eric called with, like, he's got a master's degree in O-Town, which we appreciate. On the chat here, Andy Harris says, you know, I said O-Town was on a TV show making the band, which I said, I think it was on ABC. Andy says, I think it was MTV. Turns out, Andy, I looked it up. There were two different versions of making the band. There was an ABC one, and then they brought it back years later on MTV. So we're both right.
Yeah, see, making the band. That was day 26.
Making, oh, yeah?
Yeah, there you go.
Uh-huh.
And I'm blanking on the other making the band they had for, it'll come to me. It was a young ladies group, but.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we do,
right? Right, right.
Who can intertwine O-Town into some sports?
Well, we're going to try. I mean, it's an open question at this point. But I asked Jay about Beyonce, and he says, and he's really taken some heat from Simone on this. He said, Destiny's Child, yeah, Beyonce, eh. So we started talking about how groups are better than, like, the big star leaves, but we prefer generally the group to the star that wins solo. Steven on the text line says the Eagles. Great example. Although I'm not the biggest Eagles fan, but I get it. I agree with that.
Who was there? Who won solo from the Eagles?
Glenn Frey and Don Henley both went solo.
Okay. Yeah, I needed you to tell me that.
That's going back a ways. I don't
know. Yeah, it is. Before my time, just about. But why you don't like the Eagles? Besides, the Drapes a fan.
Besides what?
Drapes is a fan.
Is he?
No, of the real Eagles, of the NFL team. Right. I mean, I understand why you don't like those Eagles. But why you don't like, why you not feeling the Eagles?
The Eagles are massively overrated, but I like some of their songs.
Okay.
I don't know. I think maybe it's, you know, you said you don't like country.
Yeah.
They had a real strong, to their credit, they had a real strong country vibe, and I'm just not a big country guy, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shouts out to Pat and Tom, Hall of Famers.
Oh,
for
no
KSCI,
question.
Man.
No question.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
They deserve that too.
I'm Whitey Gleason. I don't listen to country, but when I do, I listen to Pat and Tom. No question. I'd listen to a million country songs. If I had to hear them, I would do that.
Well, they do a great job of welcoming people like who aren't huge country fans to, you know, breaking the ice.
Yes, they are. Know? And they're, as you know, as well as I do, they're tremendous, tremendous people. Which some say is more important. I don't know whether it is, but some say that's more important than being a good radio person. I have noticed something about the Kings here, Jay, dear listener. The Kings, for the season, they shoot 39.1 threes in a game, 39.1. The last few games, well, let me just say, the last five games since Monk got hurt. Remember, their average for the year is 39. Since Monk got hurt, they shot 40, 42, 42, 51 and 48. So the last three games against the Knicks and then Boston and then yesterday the Nets, they were 18 for 42, 17 for 51, and 15 for 48.
Getting them up.
Yeah. So it's interesting because after they lost that game to the Knicks and they made 18 of 42, so they shot the ball really well, some people were talking to Mike Brown and said, you weren't getting to the line much. Maybe you should shoot fewer threes. He said, we should shoot more threes. He said, we had more chances. So that's another thing going forward. I think, Jay, it's because so often now we're seeing teams, the way they're playing the Kings is when that ball goes into Sabonis, you send everybody at him.
Yeah.
You send all five guys. You send, you know, the assistant trainer, anybody we can get. If the hot dog vendor's near there, send them down there. So the Kings' counter there is, all right. And Mike Brown talks about this and talks about it and talks about it, the spray threes. So I think that's their counter. The teams are playing us this way, so we got to kick it out and make the threes. The issue is, I don't know if the Kings are a good shooting team. They're an okay shooting team.
Yeah, yeah.
At least this year. Last year, they were a good three-point shooting team. This year they're like, let's see. They take the third most three-point attempts, and it percentage-wise, they're 16th.
Yeah, they're in the middle.
Yeah, which is like, maybe you shouldn't take so many threes if you can't make more. I think the thinking is they're capable of making more. They're just not knocking them down as well as they should. I don't know.
I can understand that. I will say this, though. Excuse me. There is.
You all right?
Yeah, there is something.
That's that cold medicine backing up on them.
Yeah, man, you know, taking me out of here, Old Town style. But I think the key, and we talked about the defense. You talked about how Mike Brown and this team has kind of figured out, you know, effort is going to go a long way for this team. And I don't think they've always had that in their, you know, in the way they've wanted to play, the style of play they've wanted to play all season. Taking threes is something that this team has continuously done, right? And yeah. I know you're saying they're taking more, but let me kick it back your way this way, Whitey. They might have to start to win with the effort and three-pointers more now that you don't have Malik Monk and you don't have Kevin Huerter. And I think that's kind of in the same vein of we're seeing this team is understanding that effort is going to go a long way for them, maybe getting up more threes, more than quality threes, and, you know, more shots at the basket mean more opportunity to make a bucket. And so I think maybe they're trying to decide that as well, knowing that they're down, you know, a couple of their Jacks and Kings.
Mm-hmm. Well, they love Keegan shooting the three ball, and he was, what, 3-for-10 yesterday. Barnes is a good three-point shooter, and I know you can't say anything nice about Barnes. People go nuts, like, hey, why is he even on the team? But he's a good three-point shooter. I know he's struggling the last couple of games. There's no question about that. You're right. You're right. And De'Aaron Fox has been up and down from three. But it's just it's interesting to me that they're taking more. And maybe it's just a matter of the way on this trip teams have played against them. Just I noticed that the percentage, at least in terms of the ranking, it seems like it keeps going down. But the ranking of how many they take keeps going up. So I think they feel like, no, we're not shooting the three ball as well as we can. We're a better shooting team than this. And as long as teams are giving us these threes, as long as they're collapsing on Domas and we can spray it and get those threes, we're going to take them.
Well, who in the hell right now in the NBA is turning down three-point shots anyway? You know why, when it comes down to that is, I mean, we're just in a three-point shooting type league, and that's the style of play that we're in. You know, we're in that era, and that's just part of what the Kings are doing. And you know, again, I hear what you're saying. I think, you know, they may have figured out that this is the way we're going to have to go about winning a game right now, especially, you know, and even when Malik, you know, talked about when Malik was still healthy and playing. But, you know, the return of Sasha Vezinkov, Trey Lyles, we know what they do best. You know, they shoot threes. They're in the corner.
Right.
Well, Sasha's everywhere, but Trey sits in that corner. And, you know, that's just the way this game is going right now for the Kings, or the season, and along with this, as you talked about, you know, going effort, putting effort in. You know, I saw someone say, let me make sure I get that 100% right. I believe it was someone from the 209. They need to play like the Heat with the chip on their shoulder. And that's kind of what you're saying, is like effort. You know, physicalness, physicality, as the Kings like to say, everybody over there at the G1C. I would love to see the Kings play like the Heat. Let me say that. And I think just part of the style of what the way they continue to play is just get off three-point shots, man.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of the chat, the Real Cheech says current Eagles bassist is from Sacramento. I think their original bassist was a Timothy B. Schmidt, Eagles bass player from Sacramento, as we continue to try to weave our music conversations.
Oh, that's what we do.
Yes, into the Kings convo. And we're going to talk about some baseball and all that expansion stuff, too, coming up. First, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Here's Steven on Sacktown Sports. Hey, Steven, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good.
Music knowledge for you. So that female group that you're talking about, man, that was Danity Kane.
Danity Kane.
That was the one. Don't ask me why I know that. Do not ask me, man. Do not. I was about to drop the mate and the band knowledge on you, but I feel like I was going to embarrass myself first off. But somebody else already did that. You know what I'm saying? So Danity Kane, that was the one. Second of all, it was for the Eagles. I'm just going to do it, man. I'm going to do it. It was Don Henley, Glenn Frey, and Joe Walsh.
Joe Walsh, yeah.
Was the other one. Who had the solo project. And here's a little bit more something for you, Whitey. Did you know that Glenn Frey was, he got his musical start as a rhythm guitarist for Bob Seger. They met, Glenn Frey and Don Henley met on tour when Don Henley was drumming for Linda Ronstadt before they actually formed the Eagles. I don't know if you knew that, but there's your useless musical knowledge for the day. Enjoy your day, boys.
Thank you. I didn't realize he was a drummer, but I knew that they had been playing with Linda Ronstadt, and they decided, hey, let's we got something here. As far as what, Vanity Kane?
Vanity, D-A-N-I-T-Y. Vanity, okay. And let me say this, no knowledge is never useless.
That's right. I agree.
There shouldn't even be a hesitation in your voice. Why?
Right. Well, you bring to mind some that always irritates me. People talk about baseball trivia. Trivia is meaningless. There's nothing about baseball history that's meaningless.
Correct.
So you say, like on this date 50 years ago, Hank Aaron he beat Babe Ruth's record. Oh, that's baseball trivia. That's not trivial. That's right. American history,
Come
baby.
On now, speak on it.
Yeah.
All information in this world, no matter if it's stupid, crazy, dumb, whatever you want to call it, still not useless. Because if it's something that, most people will consider dumb, then guess what? Don't do it. Don't say it. How many times do we have to remind people all the time? What you doing over there, man?
I broke my pen.
Oh, okay.
When I saw you. About, this is American history. It was worth it to make that statement, but I did. I broke my pen. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. I got a big basketball game tonight. No matter who wins tonight, history will be made. Tell you how when we come right back to the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Happy Monday. Hope the eclipse went well for you. I'm usually really dialed on those things, Jay, and I knew there was an eclipse today. I didn't know what time it was. I guess it was, around noon here?
11:07, I thought.
Was that what it was? Yeah. And it was just the partial here because it was just a little bit of a sliver of the moon on the sun.
West Coast, baby.
Yeah. Did you do anything for the eclipse?
No. You know what that was called? Sitting down on the couch on an ottoman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I know people got pretty nutty about it around the country, but that's fine.
Won't happen for another 20 years. Right?
Is that all?
I thought that's what. Okay.
No, to me, that seems like the type of thing that should only happen like on 1,500 years. It'll happen again. 20 years? Ah. I mean, in 20 years, that'll probably be my last one. But yeah. Still, I'm thinking. But that's a that's.
I like how you're like 20 years. That's all. You know what? 20 might be my last one. Yeah. I get you. You gonna partake in the next one?
Oh, the next one. Yeah, the next one. I'm all in.
Get your shades ready,
man.
Yeah,
it's like this is it. It's like those bands have that farewell tour. You know?
Yeah.
That's my farewell eclipse.
Hey, shouts out to Danny DeCane on the comeback right there too.
Uh-huh.
That's what we do here, man. We hear what you guys are talking about. You know, you bring O-Town to the table, we give you O-Town. You speak on Danny DeCane, we'll get that to you as well.
That's the best thing about radio, how that happens all the time. You know, when you have people that they listen and they throw stuff back at you, we appreciate it very much.
Absolutely.
Thanks for being with us today. Glad Jay is back. Drapes has the day off. He has an event today. So he's going to join us 4:00. And again, Listen, he could take a ton of days off because, again, these guys both let me take a bunch of days off. So I'm not in any way like saying, he should be here. I don't know what the event is.
We're going to ask him.
That's all.
You got that pin together?
For the most part.
Okay. I'll say it looks.
Got to be a little careful here. Right. Are you going to watch any basketball tonight?
Yeah. I'm in for the natty.
No NBA games tonight. And at least on Twitter, there were people going, oh. What's going on? Are there no NBA games because of the eclipse? Like, no, that has nothing to
Fool.
Do with it. Nothing to do with it. The NBA doesn't typically play on the day of the NCAA championship game. They did a couple years ago, but that was because of the pandemic. But for the most part, they steer clear of that. Did you watch yesterday, the women?
I watched the second half. Yeah.
I watched the first quarter. Okay. Caitlin Clark was like, wow. And then, you know what? There's a lot to be said for knowing how to play defense
at
any level.
Yes, absolutely. Took her right out the game. For me, and I don't know if you're even asking me this. Where were you going, Whitey? Because I don't want to hijack the show.
No, go ahead, please.
Talking about,
that's working out great today. Don't worry about it.
First of all, absolutely beautiful situation of women's college basketball. And where it where we started this year and even going back to last year because it was, you know, on a different level. I thought this year has taken this women's basketball to another level. Mm-hmm. Let me start there. Secondly, let me also give a shout out to Dawn Staley. And I put this yesterday. She is, her birthday is, me and her share a birthday.
Oh.
And so I've always been a big fan of Dawn Staley. Prior to even when she was playing in WNBA, you know, and when she was at Virginia, of course, she's older than me before my time, so I didn't know that. I mean, I knew it, but I didn't watch it. But as she, her journey has went through, I've paid attention. Shouts out to South Carolina for winning the national championship, an undefeated season national championship. There aren't many teams in any sport that can say that. As we talk, you know, the Dolphins celebrated every single year when everybody loses.
Yeah.
You know,
at
Mercury
the beginning
Morris.
Of that game, and Iowa smacked them when that game started.
Yeah.
And they just, all right, we're good.
Yeah. Team over star situation, right? And then also, let me say this. If nothing else, and we can have tons of conversation about this. If nothing else, no matter how you like South Carolina, no matter if you're a fan of LSU, if you're a fan of Iowa, if you dislike any player, if you love any player when it comes this past year or the tournament, because I really start paying attention to tournament for me, it was definitely entertaining in certain aspects. And there were things that I think most people never even knew about women's basketball and now can have some type of, as we talk about, like, you know, boy bands, have some type of knowledge and understanding of women's basketball.
So
shots out to that.
Yeah.
You know?
The TV ratings were incredible. I haven't seen the numbers from yesterday yet.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Friday night and some of the previous games in the tournament, I mean, they were – the women's TV numbers were, like, way larger than World Series games. They were one of those games that Caitlin Clark played in. The ratings were the highest for a basketball game on ESPN, a basketball game since a Miami Heat-Boston Celtic playoff game in 2018 or something like that. It was incredible. There was a play Friday in that game between Iowa and LSU. There was a late – excuse me, it was Connecticut. LSU.
Yeah.
Pardon me. And there was a late offensive foul called. And it was a huge story that night and the next day, which is just, by the way, it was an offensive foul. Okay, I mean, let's be honest. You're setting the screen, and she's leaning, and she's
wide. Don't you do that. Don't you do that,
White.
It was
an offensive foul. But the point is, whether you understand why it was an offensive foul or not, people were going crazy over that. It's like, you can't, LeBron on Twitter, you can't call that in that situation. It was a huge story from a women's game. It was nice to see. It was great to see. Very gratifying. It's just interesting to look at that and go, wow.
Mm.
Well, all of a sudden, the women's game is immensely popular.
Yeah, and for me, it's many reasons, you know, and the problem is, and this is the thing, in the position that we are in, and it's kind of a no-win situation for what we do because there's some negative to, like, that play. There's definitely – like, for me, I'm with you. I understand what you're saying. You don't call it, right? But that's – I'm saying that for myself. I would never call that play. I would never call that play even in an AAU 10-year-old team game or, you know. But the problem with that is – there's always going to be a fence, and there's always going to be sides to a fence, right? That's just what the society we live in. That's the great part about fans and sports. I'm not going to like everything you like, and that's great. I understand it. It's amazing how something like that can grasp a country, the world, a sliver of the sports, you know, sports fandom, basketball fans, whatever, however you want to call it, and it'd be so much dialogue based upon that. And to me, when it's all said and done, that's great. Like, no matter if I like the call, I like whatever team, the players involved, the coaches, whatever it is, you got to give some love to the fact that so many people were talking about it. Now, with that being said, here comes the negative part for me. Women's basketball, college basketball has blown up because the men's is terrible. It really is. Like it has, and this is what most people are failing to realize, is all the stars are in the league. Mm-hmm. All the stars are in the G League, which we'll figure out what they're going to do. All the stars are in overtime. All the stars are overseas. And it's hurt college basketball so much, men's college basketball so much, that I think we as fans have forgotten that amateurism is still big, and we want those things sometimes. Like, more now than ever, Whitey, mm-hmm. I think because of NIL and so much, you know, so many different things, there is still a point, there still is a sliver of fans, in my opinion, who still want amateurism, no matter if it's true or not, because I'm an NIL guy. You know, I'm a former college athlete. Pay me. Give me my money. Right? But
you didn't get much NIL when you played.
No, that'd be zero, right?
You got NIL, which is nil.
Yes.
No, I didn't get
absolutely
it.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think there is, and no matter, you know, it's not me. I want everyone to get paid, please. But I think there is a percentage of people who still continue to fight the NIL, and that's why, if nothing else, and it sounds funny because the women are getting paid, but there's a very small percentage of the women who are getting paid compared to, like, I've seen certain men, you know, just because they play somewhere, like, that's part
the
of being recruited.
North Carolina,
now.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. You know, like, Michigan is going through a huge thing because they're, like, one of the top schools in the nation, and they don't have a real big NIL package or a real NIL department yet.
Really?
And yeah, they're going through a lot of people. So you see, like, with their basketball program, a lot of people are starting to leave because it's like, y'all not paying me. Where women's college hoop, only the stars are getting paid for the most part.
Yeah, there's a USC player who's a women's player who's in a commercial for
JuJu Watkins.
Yeah, I mean, that's tremendous. By the way, I understand your point. I don't know if I agree that the women's game is popular because the men's game isn't. I understand. Maybe that's true. But I do think that tonight we have a chance for a really good men's championship game because we have UConn against Purdue, and we have, this is where history will be made, you got 2 7-footers starting against each other, Donovan Clingan and Zach Edey. They will be the first starting 7-footers to face each other in the NCAA title game since Patrick Ewing and Hakeem Olajuwon in 1984.
Georgetown versus U of H.
That's the last time that happened. And they're both pro prospects. It's interesting. You know, Zach Edey, there was a time when he might have been considered, well, that guy's he's the number one pick. And it's like, well, he might
first
be a lottery
round
pick.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. The game has changed. But I am looking forward to that tonight.
Yeah, of course. Why not?
Yeah. Although a lot of college fans are complaining that the game starts so late. But it always starts late. It's, six?
Who's complaining about that?
Oh, there's a ton of people.
Really?
On social media. It's 9:20 where I live. I can't stay up that late. Why is terrible?
We'll take you about the
bed.
It's
that way every year.
Yeah, but, listen, if you that old fogey, take your butt to bed then.
Or move out here.
Right.
Which you should have done if you were smart.
Anyway.
Yeah.
People still cry about that?
Yeah. There are definitely. You check
I thought that was just
media.
All East Coast folks who always talk about, you know, the East Coast bias and why
here,
they don't watch hoop and
yeah,
stuff.
People
yeah,
people out here don't.
West Coast.
620 is like, that's fine.
Yeah, come
people
on, man.
Gonna, yeah, people are going to go anyway to the field house to watch the game with
Styles and Watkins. Shouts out to them.
Yeah.
Would, man. Are you going? I heard they're putting the pressure on you.
Yeah, I told them I was going to try to swing by. I would. I can't. I would. I have an event as well this evening. It'll be fun. I was just out there with Chris a couple weeks ago. It's a great place. Unfortunately, I don't think
you
I'm
have
able
an event
to
too.
Yes. Yes, I do. Speaking of events, when we come back, tell you what we know about baseball's expansion plans and how Sacramento could fit into all that. We'll get to the phones as well. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140 to Drive Guys on Sactown. We've just been talking about bands and how the original band seemed to be better than the solo artists who leave the bands. Somebody mentioned Los Eagles. Not my favorite, but certainly some unforgettable tunes. It's the Drive Guys here. Drapes will be with us in the, 4 o'clock hour. We're getting ready for Drapes Takes. So it's Jay coming off of some kind of nasty virus and Whitey today. Just saw this. You know, we were just talking about Caitlin Clark and Dawn Staley, South Carolina winning the women's championship yesterday. Ratings record once again. Sunday's NCAA title game delivered, according to Nielsen, preliminary numbers 18.7 million
viewers. They did their thing right there, brother.
Peaking at 24 million. And according to ESPN, That's the most watched basketball game. That includes NBA, WNBA, anything. The most watched basketball game since 2019.
Wow. Yeah, that means shot. Good for them.
Uh-huh.
Shots out to the young ladies and everybody involved. And, you know, when it comes to the talent and the coaches and the staffs, and, you know, they did their thing this year. And you can't deny it. You absolutely can't deny it. And, again, albeit no matter how you feel of, you know, South Carolina, Iowa, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese of LSU, you know, whatever you want to call it, that's the great part about being a fan. You don't have to like all of them. You know, I'll be the first one. I don't like all of them. You know, I don't like every team. I don't like every player. I'm a fan of people, a fan of a team. I'm a fan of an organization. And so it seemed like a lot of people were watching that game for one reason or another. And, you know, so you got to give them their love, White.
Did you hear what Diana Taurasi said about Caitlin Clark?
Yes.
Yeah. And she basically said, she's okay, but she's in for a rude awakening. Well, it turns out Caitlin Clark is expected to be drafted by the Indiana Fever. They play their first game against Diana Taurasi's team.
Yeah, so, Phoenix.
I like that.
Yeah, I love it. I'm all for it.
What's she supposed to do, roll out the red carpet?
Yeah,
Come on, Rook. That's not the way it's done.
I'm with you.
At an actual level of competition.
Yeah, I'm with you. And you know what? This is. Let me say this when it comes to that. If you don't, and, you know, I come from more of the school of Diana Taurasi, and I hope, and we're going to find out, you know, Caitlin Clark, it seems, is from that same cut from that same cloth. You know, let's not forget, Caitlin Clark done has some some situations throughout her college career to where, you know, whoever, if you're a huge fan of her, she, some disrespectful things. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Like,
she's done some disrespectful things on the court to some of her competition, to her competitors. So before you start to cry, don't act like Caitlin ain't pushing that narrative in certain ways, too. And so I'm with you. The only thing I'll say about this, when it comes to Diana Taurasi versus, I wish Diana was like 10 more years younger.
She was so awesome.
Ooh-wee. You talk about somebody that would give her to Caitlin Clark the business. Because one thing Caitlin Clark does not do, play defense. Diana Taurasi would probably try to give her 50, and I would be all for it.
You'd appreciate this. He's written many books. He wrote the books that the Showtime series about the Lakers was based on. Jeff Pearlman is his name, and he's a big women's basketball fan. I didn't realize. He's been talking throughout this on Twitter, throughout this tournament, like, you know, there's been great women's players for a long time,
And
he posted last week video of Tisha Panichero.
Oh, shouts out. T-Money.
Yeah.
Yes.
She was phenomenal.
Phenomenal. I mean, a wizard with the basketball.
She
talking about Caitlin Clark passing. Again, the one thing about all of this, Whitey, there's only going to ever be, you know, one Jordan, one LeBron, one Kobe, one Iverson. Like, we're all going to only be one, our own self, right? And we're always looking for the next great person. No matter what a person says, Caitlin Clark is not the newest, I mean, is not the greatest person to play college women's basketball yet. No. Now, if you want to argue that, go ahead. No problem. She's not the greatest, though. And the reason why is because there's too many different eras. There's too many different people who grew up with Cheryl Millers and, you know, Shamika Hoseclaws and Cheryl Swoops and, like, just so many. Maya Moore, Diana Taurasi, like, Breonna Stewart,
Cynthia
Cooper. There's so many people, right, who have had. Saudia Roundtree, I remember growing up, was one of my favorite. You know, Simone Augustus, who's going into the Hall of Fame this year, had a fantastic career.
Did you mention Yolanda Griffith? Did you?
Yo, yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
The McGee twins, you know, at USC with Cheryl Miller. Mm-hmm. There are people, Candace Parker. There are so many people who have come before Caitlin Clark who could say the same thing. I get it. I understand. We're living in a moment now. She's not the greatest woman ball player to play. You can argue it, though.
Dawn Staley said she's one of the GOATs.
Yeah, she's one of. Right.
You can be one of, but anyway, it's interesting the way she phrased that.
Because she's played with most of these
women. Yeah, I know. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Ashley joins us on Sacktown Sports. Hello, Ashley.
Hello. I just want to say that, talk a little bit about the Kings.
Yeah.
Yesterday was a great game, and I don't know if you guys knew this, but we actually held them, of course, under 100 points, sending the Nets. it was our sixth time in the last 15 games where yes. we've accomplished that feat. But we only did that four times last year for a little bit of comparison. So I think that we're headed right where we want to be for this playoff push.
Thank you, Ashley. We did, in fact, mention that very fact. Yeah, they had done it five times this year prior to that in the first 63 games. And that's, sixth time in the last 15, holding the other team under 100. Yeah, Mike Brown's defensive philosophies have taken root. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. JR's with us on Sackdown Sports. Hey, JR, Drapes isn't here today. He's ducking you.
He always does. He knows. What, he forget his wallet or not make it up the elevator? What's going on?
He's going to be with us in the next hour, but he had an event today.
Oh, an event.
Yeah.
Hey, what about KD Christian Hunterson III Cougar Mellencamp? She should be in that women's mention right there.
Sure.
I think she was a gaucho. Didn't she go to UCSB?
Yeah, she did.
Did she? I didn't actually know that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dominant, her and Jim Rome.
Yeah.
That Jim Rome. Did he go to he's a gaucho too?
Yeah, Santa Barbara guy.
Look at Jay. Knowing good college knowledge.
Yeah.
What about Gators? Hey, where do you think Whitey went there, Jay?
He's a San Francisco Gators. State guy. Yeah, he went to the swamp.
We went to the swamp. And you talk about NLI money. We used to go down and crush them.
That's
and I got
us
nil
too.
Money while I was playing too. Nil.
That's not really anything to brag about. But and I had nothing to do with it either way. So yeah.
But I told
no, you got to claim it. Your representation.
All right.
Yeah. I told White the time we went to the alligator and he was like frozen. I had a couple guys on my team and I'm like, that's a real alligator. My buddies that were from SoCal. They're like, no, it's not. And then it moved. And they're like, what? And then I'm like, yeah, they really shouldn't have a gator in freezing cold territory in San Francisco. But, oh, well, that's their mascot. Yeah, this NCAA tournament has been pretty fun to watch. And I'll say this. You were right on that nose, Jay, with not as much talent. Obviously, a lot of them move, whether they're in Europe, G League, or just, you know, out of the classes quick. However, the matchups this year with the men's have been really good.
Mm-hmm.
I would say this year more than anything, I kept looking and saying, okay, when NC State, you know, just and like they played Purdue, they had two different styles. And same with Alabama and Connecticut. And you're like, anything could happen here.
Yeah.
I think I've been more glued to it over the last 3 weeks. And let's face it, March Madness from a marketing, NCAA doesn't get a lot of things right. They've blown college football for every whatever. But they get college basketball. The 3 weeks of the tournament just brought, whether they bring in anyone who's not even watching, they just put their numbers on a pool, you know, bet someone, or the college experts that love college sports and specifically basketball, they just have hit it on the head. The formula for the March Madness, or I call it Angry March, is awesome stuff. So, you know, watching it tonight, of course, finalizing it out, it's been one of the funner ones to watch over these last 3 weeks, I'll tell you.
Thanks, JR. Appreciate that. And make sure you go check out the game tonight at the Fieldhouse with Stiles and Watkins.
Yes, sir.
That'll be fun. Yes, history made tonight. First time 2 7-footers squaring off in the men's final game since 1984, Ewing and Akeem Olajuwon, with Klingon taking on Zach Edey.
So, have you – and I agree with JR, I mean, but I'm a sports guy.
I just don't know why S's take shots at SF State.
True. He didn't say – where's JR? Do you know where he went?
I think he went to Sonoma State.
Really? Really?
Were they like the Cossacks or something?
Now that one, oh man, play Sonoma State. I'm trying to think what they are. I can't remember off the top of my mind. It's a bad job.
They probably changed their name to something.
I feel like they did switch, but let's look that up. JR is from Sonoma State. I will say this, Whitey. I do agree with him in the form of because there have been less like household names in the men's tournament. I believe parity has, like, even over the last 5 or 6 years, you know, we've seen 16-1 and, you know, 16s beat 1s in the tournament and all that type of stuff. I'm with them. I enjoy that. But I understand, and I think what JR is saying too, you know, they do a great job in this month of basketball in the form of the casual people turn up and turn out and watch this.
My wife filled out a bracket the last 2 years.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And she's like, oh. I mean, she's involved. She's invested in it. Yeah.
I love it.
What do you think of?
Yeah.
I don't appreciate Calipari, the announcement coming. Maybe he can control it, but that coming out, that should have been like tomorrow and this week rather than coming out right when the finals going on.
I mean, that's not a him thing, though, right? That's
well,
the school.
I don't know.
Or
maybe.
Somebody, yeah. Well, maybe.
Maybe.
Okay, I got you. I mean, breaking news happens every day, all day.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, get what you're saying.
Baseball has rules like there's certain things you don't announce right before the World Series, stuff like that. You're right. Maybe it wasn't him, but if it was him, I just think that, that's not the way that should be done.
Yeah.
Speaking of baseball, as I think I just was a moment ago, yeah, baseball's expansion plans. What do you think the expansion fee is expected to be for the next Major League Baseball expansion teams? The shocking number is next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Fun with college team nicknames here with the Drive Guys before we get to the MLB expansion situation. JR. He used to call himself RJ on another station, so I apologize for the confusion. But he went to Sonoma State. Jay, you played against Sonoma State, so you're trying to come up with the nickname.
Yeah, and I did want to look it up, and I thought about it. I was like, I think they're the Sea Wolves. So, you know, this is what we do on the Drive Guys.
Yeah.
We keep it original and keep it for real before I Google something.
Am I right? You're
correct.
Ah. Yeah, some people on the text line weighed in. SSU alumni, they were the Cossacks up until 2001, and that has something to do with the Russian settlers in the region. And then Cossacks were soldiers, I think, and people came to the opinion that that's kind of offensive. So they changed it, and now they are the Sea Wolves.
The Sea Wolves.
Uh-huh.
That's what I was sitting there thinking. And JR is correct. I'm a huge music guy, but I also like mascots, like, you know, what a school is called or whatever the case may be. Because sometimes they're a mascot, then they have something else completely. Long Beach State, you know, like baseball, dirt bags, but the different situation, 49ers and stuff.
What
like
are
that.
They, the
Anteaters? The Titans, right?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
JR mentioned SF State. SF State apparently used to be the Golden Gators, like the Golden Gate. Somewhere along the line, someone decided to change it to the Gators, like an alligator. So when I went there, and the reason I say, I have nothing to do with it, I didn't play, and I don't want to, you know, because like JR played and Jay played, and I didn't play, so that's what I mean. But they used to have an alligator out there.
The NFL's leading rush.
And I remember being out there, like, doing one of the games on the campus radio station, and it's freezing cold out there. You know,
play by play, brother.
I think I was a color analyst for this game.
Really?
The station there, the campus station. Anyway, my point is they'd have the alligator out there. Freezing cold, alligators are cold-blooded. They'd bring an alligator out from Steinhardt Aquarium, and, you know, it's like whatever, 50 degrees, whatever, with the wind chill and the fog, and the alligator would just sit there, wouldn't move. It's like, is that thing alive? And it was not a very fearsome mascot, you know, because like.
Wait, man, come on.
It would just, they'd have it like
freezing
on a,
out there.
Yeah. And he'd be, you know, on the sideline of one end zone and just, and there he is, the SF State Gator. And the poor thing, you know, wouldn't move.
Dude, so I had to look this up because I thought about the Titans or the Fullerton. So I had to make sure I looked up Long Beach State, right? They are, and I did not know this now. It looks like they've changed their mascot as well.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, I play baseball, so playing against Long Beach State, they were called the Dirtbags. But they're the Sharks now? Like Cal State Long Beach Sharks?
They
I didn't know that. No. They've switched their mascot now.
The Sharks is cool, but that's not what they used to be.
Yeah, and their mascot now is called LB. LB the Shark.
LB, okay.
Yeah, and Long LB Beach. Is E-L-B-E.
Yeah, LB. I gotcha. Yeah. I gotcha. We got to find out what they used to be. Irvine's the Anteaters, right? That's what
they
I was thinking
are,
of.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, there's been a lot of talk about baseball coming to Sacramento. Since we found out last week, Jay wasn't here. I'm dying to know what Jay thinks of the fact that the A's say they're going to play in Sacramento for at least 3 years, maybe four, and then maybe this will be a kind of an audition for Sacramento. You excited, Jay? I think there was a day you talked about this where I wasn't here. I think you and Drapes had a conversation about it. My understanding is you said you weren't excited about it, but you would probably go.
Yeah, and really when it comes down to this, and I try to keep it simple because this is not simple. Like, I could talk four hours for this.
You're right.
About this. I love my city. I love Sacramento. And the fact that you can say that a Major League Baseball team is getting ready to be in my backyard, I'm all for it. Like, there's nothing you could have possibly told me growing up, you know, here in Sacramento, that if a baseball team would be here, I'd be all for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
What – the mixed emotion to it, and this is what me and Drapes were talking about, hypocritical, is as an Oakland A fan, I've always wanted the Oakland A's to stay. And I may be in the minority, and it's going to sound bad because, you know, right now we're pinpointing Oakland. People want the A's to stay in Oakland. I was for the A's staying in San Jose. I was staying for the A's if they were going to stay in Fremont. You know, anything around this area, I'm 100% for it. I get why people are like, no, they belong in Oakland. Got it. Understand. You're talking to an A's fan.
Mm-hmm.
No problem.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, man, it is difficult. Like, it is a fine line for me to like this team coming here because I can't stand the owner. I can't stand what he, and I don't know him. So let me say that. I don't know this cat personally.
No, but his actions have affected anybody yes. who's a baseball fan in the region.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, sure, we don't know him personally, but we know yeah. what he's done and how it's impacted us. So I think that's fair. It's interesting, David Sampson was on with Dave and Jason, I think, Friday, and then Stiles yep. and Watkins replayed it today.
Okay.
One of the things that he said, and it's a really interesting interview. And by the way, David Sampson, check his history if you're interested. He's been involved in some of these franchise
Miami Marlins
and Montreal Expos, things mm-hmm. like that. So he knows his way all the way around.
Absolutely.
But he said he didn't understand why there was no mention from John Fisher at the press conference out here last week or by anybody about the quality of the team. How good is this team going to be? No one brought it up. No one asked.
Well,
and what bothers me is the notion that maybe, you know, oh, you better go out and support this team if you're going to show baseball that, you know, you deserve a regular team down the road. All right, but this team's terrible. Well, okay, then don't support them. It's almost like we're being held over a barrel.
Yeah.
You better come out. This team is awful.
Terrible.
And they don't put money into it.
Yes. Well, and, you know, Whitey, this is going to take probably another hour or two to even have a discussion.
Let's go.
There were many things that didn't happen last week during the press conference. And I've said this 100 times on this show. I've said this 100 times on this network. And let me make sure of this. Because I was ill was the only reason I was not out there last week. And I'm going to say it like this. No disrespect to Sean Cunningham. And I'm not calling people out.
No.
I'm Casey Pratt, Brendan Nunes, Scott Marsh.
Casey Pratt asked some hard like, questions.
And everybody that was out there. Questions. Matt George, shout out to everybody that's from the Sacramento media and Bay Area media who was out there doing a job. No disrespect to none of them cats. Everybody is personally who they are because that's who they are. With that being said, there wasn't a question asked to Dave Cavill. There wasn't a question asked to Vivek. There wasn't a question asked to the mayor of West Sacramento. There wasn't a question asked to Angelique Ashby. There wasn't a question asked to none of these people, to the best of my knowledge. And please, if they were, show it to me. Why in the hell is John Fisher not talking? And why are you guys walking around here talking for him in mm-hmm. certain instances? Mm-hmm. Like, there is a point in time where I get it. When you're part of all it, like, they can't. No one can force no one to have a conversation. But if there's nothing else, guess what? The people around this individual who continues to affect multiple cities, multiple businesses, fans, you know, so many different things that's being intertwined. And guess what? If we're not going to make him uncomfortable, you know what I'm getting ready to begin to do is start to make the people around him uncomfortable. Fellas, young people, ladies, anything. I get why y'all talking. I understand why y'all here, because y'all some stand-up individuals. Just give me one instance of why y'all want to sit up here and support this cat.
Well, I can only tell you this. I know that efforts are underway to secure interviews on our station with some of the people that you're talking
Good.
About. So maybe Good. We can move that forward.
Yes. And yeah. you know what I'm going to say? And I challenge, and I'll be the first person on this station as an Oakland A's fan, as somebody born and raised in Sacramento, as a lifelong Oakland A's guy, as someone that's put money in their pocket, blood, sweat, tears, season tickets, whatever you want to call it. The fact of the matter is, for me, though, Whitey is again, what the understanding, nobody can force anybody to have a conversation. I get that. But don't bring y'all butt up here having these conversations, have a press conference, and then don't accept no questions. Nah. If y'all a team, if y'all together, if y'all rocking like that, meaning Sacramento, Vivek, Kings Group, John Fisher, Dave Cavill, everybody else up there, then everybody gonna get these questions. Mm-hmm. Stop allowing that cat to run. Mm-hmm. Stop putting yourself in front of the fire and not allowing this dude to not take some of these questions. It's time. I'm tired, and why I know where we at, Whitey, but look, now you got me fired up, man. You got me fired up. Because honestly, how many times has this dude sat down with anyone that's not going to throw him some underhanded lollipop dodgeball? I mean, like, this stuff is ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
It's an embarrassment.
It is. And me personally, I'd have been thrown out of there. I'm going to tell you the truth. Like, I would have almost lost my job. Because I would have said, man, I don't give a flying whatever about what you about to tell me. You know why? Because your boy ain't up here. Mm-hmm. Straight up. Like, we need to have some real conversations. And look, I ain't no millionaire. I get it. I'm not some of these cats that's busting moves and doing all of that. But guess what you need me to do, though? You need me to support it. You need me to spend my money. You need me to come on air and push people to go over there. I got power, too. I got some understanding about myself. If there's anybody that John Fisher, Vivek, Dave Cavill, and all them people should be talking to, is me. Mm-hmm. Not all these people that you got people out here, Whitey, who like, man, I'm going to the games because they in SAC. That's cool. Shouts out to you. No disrespect to you. Spend your money how you want to. I got people like, yeah, I'm going to go to the game. Come on, A's fan. Shouts out to you. Spend your money how you want to. That's cool. But if nothing else, personally, I want some answers too. And I deserve personal answers as a fan.
We'll tell you how tomorrow could be a huge day in this whole saga. Also, as promised, a look at what it's going to cost to buy an expansion team, which Sacramento hopes to do in the near future here. More on that next year with The Drive, guys, on Sactown Sports.